Let me pray as I start. Father, be with us as we come to think about the things that Jesus said, particularly the things that Nat had in her mind as she was thinking about this service. Help us to understand what it means that you are the bread of life and to have faith in you that you will raise us up at the last day. Amen. Well, you may have gathered that most of what we're doing today is being done under Nat's direction. Very clear direction, can I say. 3 pages she wrote. I actually regularly encourage people to write down what they'd like done at their funeral, because it's you know, the sort of hymns they'd like, the Bible readings, who they'd like to speak, all that sort of thing. Because it helps me when I'm thinking about a funeral to know what we'll do, and particularly what I should preach on. It's always hard to think of a passage to preach on when you come to an occasion like this. And Nat was the best, I think. She chose everything. She even changed the words of the first hymn because she didn't like they were. She thought they were not understandable enough. So the passage she wrote says this: Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." If there's one thing you'd have to say about Nat, well, at least over the years that I've known her, which isn't that long, but over, I think it's true probably of the rest of her life as well, is that she was content. I was actually preaching about this last Sunday, the night before she died. Sadly, I've still got the copy of the sermon that I had to have that, you know, was required to be delivered to her the next day so she could go through it if she wasn't at church on the day. If she was on the church today, she still needed the sermon, by the way. I actually went in to visit her, about 3 weeks ago and took her the sermon from the previous week and said, "Oh, that's good. I brought half a dozen with me just so I could read them," of my old sermons, you know. She'd pull them out of her file. So she wasn't going to be left without something to think about. But what I was saying last week was that I was preaching about godliness with contentment. And I thought, that pretty much sums up Nat Appleby, doesn't it? She was, I've met lots of people who are godly, but I haven't met many who are more godly than Nat, or is content with her lot in life. She didn't need much. She was content. But the question is, where did that contentment come from? Well, let me suggest the passage she asked me to preach on gives us the answer. Jesus promised that whoever comes to him will never hunger, will never thirst. Those who come to Jesus have their hearts' hunger satisfied, their soul's thirst quenched. And I'm certain that part of Nat's contentment, a large part of her contentment, came from that, from the fact that she was fed on God's word day by day. I'm equally certain that Nat's contentment came from the sure and certain knowledge that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died and rose again so she could have eternal life, that he promised that he'd lose none of those that God had given him. That's what we just read. "This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them on the last day." There's something special about meeting someone who knows they have only a short time left on earth and who's actually looking forward to the end. Lots of people you meet say, "Oh, it's terrible, I'm going to die." Nat was one who said, "Well, I hope it comes soon." There was no fear of the unknown in Nat. She knew what was awaiting her. She was content with life as it was, but she longed for the day when she'd go to be with her Lord. Hers was a deep and grounded faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, she was one of the most godly people I've come across. Yet it's interesting when you hear what Kay just read of what Nat had written, how Nat perceived her spiritual growth. If you're listening, you may have noticed that when she talked about her spiritual journey, it wasn't until 1973, at the age of 63, that Nat began to explore and understand God's word in any depth. And I think there's both a warning and an encouragement there for us, isn't there? There's a warning that unless we seek out God's word, we'll miss out on the depths of knowing God that we could have had. But there's the encouragement that it's never too late to start. She says in her recollections, I realised, this is in 1973, I realised as never before that the Bible is God's message to us. From it I learned the real significance of Jesus' life and death. And that altered my whole attitude to life. What a great thing to say. And, you know, she may only have started studying the Bible in a depth at the age of 63, but that didn't stop her making the most of the time left to her. Now, there may be some here who are part of one of her Bible studies. I think she ran two Bible studies at one stage. And you, some of those people may be here today. If you are, I'm sure you'd agree that the depth of her learning was amazing. I remember visiting her a few years ago, not that long ago. She'd just started reading, going through Genesis in her Wednesday afternoon Bible study. And she had all these questions she wanted me to answer before she got to the next section. And they were the sort of deep questions you might expect from a theological student, which of course she was. But she was a 90-year-old, not a 20-year-old theological student. And I had a great time that afternoon working through answers with her to all those questions. It was a great joy to have a Bible study with Nat at the age of, I suppose she was 95 at that stage. It's amazing, isn't it? When Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, he is of course speaking of the word of, he's speaking as the word of God made flesh. Now remember, that's how John begins his gospel. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it was as Nat was fed on the word of God that she grew in her spiritual maturity, that she grew into a Christian woman of great stature. She loved it when I or one of the other preachers dealt with a text that she hadn't heard preached on before. And she'd come up to you, she'd always come up to you after a service and say, oh, thank you for preaching that. I haven't heard a sermon on that before. And in 98, surely. But she was always really appreciative because she wanted to hear God's word opened and explained and applied. I know she was very encouraging to the Ridley students we've had here from time to time. She'd go up and encourage them in their preaching, thank them for what they were doing. She was also very encouraging of our youth and children's ministries. I guess you've picked up from the eulogies, she loved children, she loved young people, she loved teaching. And when we first raised some money, when I first came here, we needed to raise some money to start a youth ministry. She and Roma were the first ones to put up their hand and say, yeah, we'll give you, N dollars a week. And we started a youth ministry. And from then on, you know, the youth ministers were in trouble because she was always asking the questions. How are those youth going?
How are those youth going? Good-o.
Well, Roma's gone now, and so now too Nat has joined her. But we were told this wasn't to be a sad service. The exact instructions were that this was to be a service of praise and thanksgiving to God for his mercy and his love. And what better way to be encouraged to praise and thanksgiving than to be reading these words of Jesus. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Well, Nat was a firm believer in Jesus Christ as God's Son. She had no doubt about the saving power of his death and resurrection. She loved reading his word. She was a prayer warrior. You heard that from Christine. She always followed up on people. She knew what was going on. She wanted to know, I've been praying for this person. What's the latest news? And now all that remains for her is to be raised up to God in heaven, where, in the words of Paul to Timothy, there's reserved for her the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give her on that day. And not only to her, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I know there are many here today who'll miss Nat's quiet faith and her deep love. She's one of those people you feel privileged to have known. But I hope every one of you here today will go away with that scripture passage she chose to be read and preached fixed in your mind. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Make sure you're one of those who can say like Nat, that you believe in Jesus Christ as God's only Son, our Lord.